Good morning. I'm Matt Miller with this news update. Authorities have charged former Ketchikan City Councilman Jack Shea with 81 additional counts of possessing child pornography. A release from the Ketchikan Police Department says two of the additional charges were filed after a homemade video was found showing Shea with a prepubescent female. The other charges stem from images found on Shea's computer. Shea was arrested last Friday and charged with 10 counts of possessing child pornography after he took his computer and printer to a repair shop. Employees of the shop called police, as required by law, after they found pornographic images featuring children. A judge ordered Shea to turn himself in to the Ketchikan Correctional Center by yesterday afternoon. Bail has been reset at $100,000. Shea's attorney, Christopher Boyette, declined comment through his receptionist. The man convicted of sexually assaulting and killing a woman in Tenakee Springs 8 years ago is still trying to get his sentence reduced. James Harmon is now 32 years old. He's currently in a Colorado prison serving a 72-year sentence for second-degree murder, sexual assault, and theft. He appealed his sentence a few years ago, claiming the sentence was too harsh and newspaper stories prejudiced the jury before the trial. But the sentence was upheld by the Alaska Court of Appeals. Now Harmon is seeking post-conviction relief. The latest lawsuit was filed over 2 years ago. During a hearing yesterday, Harmon's current attorney, Michael Smith, said he believes there are no arguable merits to seek post-conviction relief, but Smith said he's willing to assist Harmon as he proceeds pro se. Ketchikan Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens is accepting additional motions in the case for another 2 weeks. Harmon was convicted and sentenced for the assault and death of 19-year-old Maggie Wiggin. Her body was found buried in an earthen dam near Tenakee Springs in March of 2003. Gold Street was closed yesterday morning between 5th and 7th Streets after a tractor trailer lost part of its load of lumber for the Basin Road Trestle Reconstruction Project. No one was injured. The truck was heading up Gold Street about 11 o'clock when two of the straps securing the load apparently broke. A stack of 8-inch by 14-inch timbers, each about 20 feet long, came off of the trailer at 6 and Gold and slid down the hill. The load appeared to knock a mid-sized pickup truck onto the sidewalk and sideswipe a sedan. A bundled load of 2-inch by 4-inch lumber also slid into the truck. Before the driver was able to stop, other large timbers partially came off the trailer. An unnamed Alaska Marine trucking supervisor said only the driver's pride was hurt and he was shaken up a little. The supervisor attributed the lost load to the broken straps and the creosote-treated lumber getting wet. Hours after the load came off the trailer, Alaska Marine trucking workers were still reloading the lumber and clearing the streets. City and Borough of Juneau Engineering Director Rory Watt plans to start releasing parts of a study on the city's water supply early next year. In August, the Juneau Assembly appropriated $250,000 for the study, part of the city's exploration of reopening the AJ mine. The city owns two-thirds of the old mine, located in Last Chance Basin, Juneau's main source of drinking water. Yesterday, Watt told the Juneau Chamber of Commerce that he plans to release the study piecemeal to avoid throwing too much gasoline on an already explosive issue.
To some people, it may look like we're moving very slowly and too slowly, but that's intentional, quite frankly. I'm trying to do a very deliberate process and I think that's what the community needs.
Watt says the study will have four parts. The first will focus on the history of Juneau's water system. Part two will cover current risks, and possible expansion of the system will be discussed in part three. Part four will talk about future risks, including the AJ mine. Watt says the analysis will attempt to answer two big questions. Is the threat posed to Juneau's water system a fatal flaw for reopening the AJ mine? And how does the city maintain its standard of living and promote economic development in the face of threats to the system?
It's not a simple question of can you have jobs, can you have clean drinking water?
Watt hopes to release the first two parts of the water study in January or February, and he says the rest will be rolled out slowly after that, but he did not say when the whole report would be available. Another local mining company says higher metals prices this year are responsible for increased third quarter revenue and more cash flow, and the first ever dividend linked to the price of silver is also going out this month. Hecla Mining, operator of Greens Creek Mine on Admiralty Island, reported third quarter earnings this week. Total sales were up slightly to $120.5 million. Cash flow was nearly $61 million. Net income for the quarter was almost $56 million, or about 20 cents a share. That's easily twice the net income for the third quarter of last year. Earnings after adjustments were just over $35 million, or about 13 cents a share for last quarter. Hecla Board of Directors also announced this week the first quarterly silver price-linked dividend. It's 2 cents a share based on the average silver price last quarter of just over $37 an ounce. It will be paid out November 29th to shareholders of record on November 18th. Production at Greens Creek, considered one of the top silver producers in the country, is down this year compared to last. About 1.4 million ounces for the third quarter and 4.5 million ounces for the first 9 months of this year. Mining and milling costs are up this year because of lower ore volume and higher electricity costs, blamed in part to lower precipitation that feeds Juneau's hydroelectric facilities. Hecla also operates a Lucky Friday mine in Idaho. Production of 2.5 million ounces so far this year is identical to last year's production levels for the company. And it was just this week that Coeur d'Alene Mines, owner and operator of the Kensington Mine north of Juneau, announced an all-time company record quarter in sales and a big jump into the black with earnings for last quarter. And Juneau's Veterans Day observance is at Centennial Hall today at 11 o'clock. It will be hosted this year by Auk Bay Post 25 of the American Legion. And the keynote speaker is Commander Matt Jones of Coast Guard Sector Juneau. Vietnam veteran Tim Armstrong says Veterans Day is one of the few national holidays still celebrated on its original calendar day.
Veterans believe that this day is so important that we fought and been successful at retaining it, being observed on its calendar day, which is the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour, commemorating the armistice, which was signed in 1918, the ending of the war to end all wars back in World War I, but we found that that's not been the case. Consequently, years later, November the 11th was changed to recognize all veterans and their sacrifice.
There are nearly 25 million military veterans in the United States, and more than 75,000 veterans live in Alaska. Weather forecast for the capital city calls for a little bit of fog this morning and some isolated rain and snow showers this morning. And high temperature today, about 36 degrees. Some increasing clouds tonight, some snow and rain late tonight. Accumulation of snow up to 2 inches for tonight. Temperatures down to about 26 to 32 degrees. And then another 4 inches of snow possible tomorrow. And the Weather Service has a winter weather advisory for tonight until noon tomorrow. And in areas above 1,200 feet tomorrow, expect about 7 to 8 inches of snow. High temperature tomorrow should be about 39 degrees. Currently in the capital city, 33 degrees. A little bit of fog reported at the Juneau Airport. And Alaska Airlines says flights are running on schedule this morning. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. In the headlines, Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello has won the Alaska Municipal League's Vic Fisher Award for Excellence in Local Government. The award was presented by Fisher last night at AML's 61st Annual Local Government Conference in Fairbanks. AML Board of Directors established the Vic Fisher Local Government Leadership Award in 2000 in honor of Fisher, who is the Secretary to the Committee on Local Government for the Constitutional Convention. He also served more than 50 years in local and state government. According to the AML, local government officials nominated for the award must show significant statewide contributions to improving local government and communities in Alaska. Botello is in his third term as mayor of the capital city. He also served as mayor from 1988 to 1991. He's described being mayor as the best job he's ever had. Botello also served as Alaska Attorney General under two governors. On the eve of Veterans Day, the U.S. Senate passed legislation to get veterans more job training and encourage businesses to hire them. Yesterday's unanimous vote was a rare display of bipartisanship in Congress and the first piece of President Obama's jobs package to get approval. The Vow to Hire Heroes Act provides new tax credits up to $5,600 to companies that hire unemployed veterans and up to $9,600 in credits for hiring disabled vets who've been out of work for at least half a year. It also improves or puts into place career counseling and job training for troops transitioning to civilian life and lets them apply for jobs in the federal government before they leave service. Alaska senators both had been pushing for the changes before President Obama incorporated them into his jobs plan. This is Democrat Mark Begich.
12% or more unemployed within the veterans community, an enormous amount, one out of four Iraqi, Afghanistan veterans unemployed. We have to do something to help get folks back to work.
Begich says the tax breaks also help businesses with their bottom line, but he says the main goal is helping veterans transition to civilian life. The bill requires the government to do studies comparing military skills with the civilian world, which could help vets prove they're qualified to hold jobs similar to what they did in the service. Senator Begich says he recently heard from an Alaskan who was a skilled combat zone medic, but here at home was considered qualified only to drive an ambulance. Begich says this is just one way that Congress can help veterans who face not only high unemployment rates, but emotional and psychological challenges of transitioning out of the war zone and high suicide rates as well.
When you're a veteran, you come back and there's no job, you're unable to provide for your family, it adds to the stress, which of course gets to a lot of other issues, which could end up with individuals doing harm to themselves or others. So in a lot of ways, this is an important piece, but not the only piece.
There are an estimated 240,000 unemployed veterans from wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Veterans Employment Bill is expected to pass the House and would become the first and only piece of the president's jobs bill to gain any traction in the divided Congress. Alaska senators are honoring veterans in Washington, D.C. today. The Senate's votes this week prevented them from coming home, but they're attending events recognizing veterans, and both are launching projects to reach out to Alaska's men and women who served. Senator Lisa Murkowski is attending a ceremony this morning at the Vietnam Women's Veterans Memorial in D.C., and this afternoon will go to a Habitat for Humanity event with retired General Stanley McChrystal that features volunteerism by the military community. She's also launching a Soldier Spotlight project. It's in collaboration with the Library of Congress's ongoing Veterans History Project. Murkowski's office will highlight an Alaskan veteran each month, posting online a biography and an interview with him or her. Senator Murkowski says it's designed to honor and bring attention to service members and learn from their stories. Senator Begich is also creating an online platform for veterans. His office opened today a Heroes Hub on his website. It's a clearinghouse of contacts and information for veterans on everything from health benefits to finding jobs. Begich says it's also a place to create community.
It will be really a service center where veterans can go to, active military can go to, see what benefits and services they can get access to. But also another piece, which I think is a very exciting piece, is it will be an opportunity for people to tell us about their veteran, their hero out there, their Alaska hero. So it's really engaging Alaskans and being part of this bigger family, which is the Alaska Veterans family.
Today, Senator Begich and his family will visit Arlington National Cemetery to lay a wreath at the grave of an Alaskan. Begich says it will be especially poignant this year for his family, who recently lost his father-in-law, a former Army colonel. The only veteran in or on Alaska's congressional delegation, Representative Don Young, is not attending Veterans Day events, according to his office. He put out a statement last night commending service members and calling on Congress not to make budget cuts that hurt them. Young served in the U.S. Army's 41st Tank Battalion in the 1950s. Juneau's Veterans Day observance is at Centennial Hall today at 11 o'clock. It'll be hosted this year by Ock Bay Post 25 of the American Legion. And the keynote speaker will be Commander Matt Jones of Coast Guard Sector Juneau. Vietnam veteran Tim Armstrong says Veterans Day is one of the few national holidays still celebrated on its original calendar day.
Successful at retaining it, being observed on its calendar day, which is the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour, commemorating the armistice, which was signed in 1918, the ending of the war to end all wars back in World War I, but we found that that's not been the case. Consequently, years later, November the 11th was changed to recognize all veterans and their sacrifice.
There are nearly 25 million military veterans in the United States, and more than 75,000 of those veterans live right here in Alaska. Weather forecast for the capital city calls for partly cloudy skies with a little bit of fog in some patches this morning and some isolated rain and snow showers also for today. High temperature about 36 degrees. Increasing clouds tonight. Some more snow and rain expected late tonight. And temperatures should be getting down to about 26 to 32 degrees with accumulation of snow up to 2 inches. And then there's a winter weather advisory for tonight until noon tomorrow. The weatherman's calling for some snow tomorrow morning, accumulation of up to 4 inches. And if you live above 1,200 feet, you're going to probably get about 7 to 8 inches of snow, especially if you live on Douglas Island tomorrow morning. And high temperature tomorrow should be about 39 degrees with some rain showers expected tomorrow night and rain and snow showers on Sunday, temperatures in the 30s. Currently in Juneau, 32 degrees in the Mendenhall Valley, 34 degrees downtown. I'm Matt Miller, and that's a look at news and weather for this half hour. Good morning. I'm Matt Miller with this news update. The state's highest court has ruled in favor of the Tanana Chiefs Conference in a tax case. The Alaska Supreme Court ruled that four properties owned by the nonprofit Native Corporation should have qualified for charitable purpose exemptions from the Fairbanks North Star Borough and its property taxes. The ruling announced yesterday and resolves a lawsuit challenging a denial of tax exemptions for five properties. The court found that four of the parcels were rented to other charitable nonprofits for exempt purposes and therefore were tax exempt. The borough attorney says the decision means the borough will refund 2006 taxes and any taxes collected in the following years, and that could be a sizable sum. The David Salmon Tribal Hall alone has paid well over $100,000 in taxes since 2006. Authorities have charged former Ketchikan City Council member Jack Shea with 81 additional counts of possessing child pornography. A release from the Ketchikan Police Department says two of the additional charges were filed after a homemade video was found showing Shea with a prepubescent female. The other charges stem from images found on Shea's computer. Shea was arrested last Friday and charged with 10 counts of possessing child pornography after he took his computer and printer to a repair shop. Employees of the shop called police, as is required by law, after they found pornographic images featuring children. A judge ordered Shea to turn himself into the Ketchikan Correctional Center by yesterday afternoon, and bail has been reset to $100,000. Shea's attorney, Christopher Boyette, declined to comment. The man convicted of sexually assaulting and killing a woman in Tenneke Springs 8 years ago is still trying to get his sentence reduced. James Harmon is now 32 years old. He's currently in a Colorado prison serving a 72-year sentence for second-degree murder, sexual assault, and theft. He appealed his sentence a few years ago, claiming it was too harsh and newspaper stories prejudiced the jury before the trial. But the sentence was upheld by the Alaska Court of Appeals. Now Harmon is seeking post-conviction relief. The latest lawsuit was filed over 2 years ago. During our hearing yesterday, Harmon's current attorney, Michael Smith, repeated his belief that there are no arguable merits to seek post-conviction relief. But Smith said he's willing to assist Harmon as he proceeds pro se. Ketchikan Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens is accepting additional filings in the case for another 2 weeks. Harmon was convicted and sentenced for the assault and death of 19-year-old Maggie Wiggin. Her body was found buried in an earthen dam near Tenneke Springs in March of 2003. Authorities in Teller are searching for a missing villager who may have been swept into the Bering Sea during this week's storm. State troopers say 26-year-old Kyle Komak was last seen 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon as he headed toward a jetty where waves were cresting as high as 10 feet. Emergency responders say 37 communities have reported some form of damage from the storm. City and Borough of Juneau Engineering Director Rory Watt plans to start releasing parts of a study on the city's water supply early next year. In August, the Juneau Assembly appropriated $250,000 for the study, part of the city's exploration of reopening the AJ Mine. The city owns two-thirds of the old mine, which is located in Last Chance Basin, Juneau's main source of drinking water. Yesterday, Watt told the Juneau Chamber of Commerce that he plans to release the study piecemeal to avoid throwing too much gasoline on an already explosive issue.
To some people, it may look like we're moving very slowly and too slowly, but that's intentional, quite frankly. I'm trying to do a very deliberate process, and I think that's what the community needs.
Watts says the study will have four parts. The first will focus on the history of Juneau's water system. Part two will cover current risks, and possible expansion of the system will be discussed in part three, and part four will talk about future risks, including the AJ Mine. Watts says the analysis will attempt to answer two big questions. Is the threat posed to Juneau's water system a fatal flaw for reopening the AJ mine? And how does the city maintain its standard of living and promote economic development in the face of threats to the system?
It's not a simple question of can you have jobs, can you have clean drinking water.
Watt hopes to release the first two parts of the water study in January or February, and he says the rest would be rolled out slowly after that, but he did not say when the whole report would be available. Currently in the capital city, 31 degrees at the Juneau Airport and 35 degrees in Douglas, and clear skies reported in Gustavus this hour, 28 degrees, and a little bit of fog in Hoonah, 30 degrees. The forecast for the capital city calls for some cloudy skies and possibility of some snow and rain showers this morning. High today about 36 degrees, and then some clouds rolling in tonight. Some snow and rain expected late tonight. Accumulation of snow up to 2 inches possible. And then there's a winter weather advisory from 9 o'clock tonight until about noon tomorrow. The Weather Service says expect another 4 inches of snow tomorrow, except 7 to 8 inches on Douglas Island above 1,200 feet. High temperature tomorrow should be about 39 degrees, and then some rain and snow showers expected for the rest of the weekend. I'm Matt Miller. That's a look at news and weather for this half hour.